Hi, I'm VOA's Christina Menenti with your worldwide news update. After the Trump administration officially increased tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports to 25%, the European Union announced its own countermeasures, saying they will enter into force from April 1st. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen.
The countermeasures we take today are strong but proportionate, as the United States are applying tariffs worth $28 billion. We are responding with countermeasures worth 26 billion euros.
The Commission manages trade and commercial conflicts on behalf of the 27 member countries. Britain, which isn't part of the EU, said it is negotiating a trade deal with all options on the table.
It is disappointing. This is not a friendly act.
Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese hit out at the United States tariffs after he failed to secure a last-minute exemption. Albanese said Australia would not retaliate. The Kremlin said on Wednesday it needed to be briefed by the United States on the outcome of U.S.-Ukrainian talks in Saudi Arabia before it would comment on whether a proposed 30-day ceasefire was acceptable to Russia. On the ground, Ukrainian soldiers aren't optimistic.
They will agree, but they won't do it. It's 100%. I think it's 100% certain there is no other way. That is, they will somehow say in public arenas that there are no hostilities, no shelling. But as this abomination has been crawling, so it will continue to crawl.
That was Malchik, a lieutenant colonel. The United States agreed to resume military aid and intelligence sharing with Ukraine after earlier suspending them. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said he did not rule out the possibility of a phone call between Presidents Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said the United States will have contact with Russia on Wednesday about the agreement reached with Ukraine. This is VOA News. Former Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte is being flown to the Netherlands to face an international criminal court charge of crimes against humanity linked to the deadly crackdown on drugs he oversaw while in office. Pro and anti-Duterte protesters rallied outside the ICC after his arrest.
We are calling for justice, not only for the victims, 300,000 victims of extrajudicial killing, but for the Filipino people as well.
Duterte is expected to arrive in the Netherlands late Wednesday afternoon and be taken to the court's detention unit. Pakistani officials say security forces have exchanged gunfire with hundreds of separatist militants as they try to rescue about 250 hostages being held aboard a train. At least 30 militants have been killed, and security forces rescued nearly 200 of the 450 people who were on the train when it was hijacked. The separatist Baloch Liberation Army, which has long waged an insurgency against the Pakistani government, has claimed responsibility for the hijacking. The center-right Democratic Party has won the most votes in Greenland's elections in a surprise result for an election held in the shadow of U.S. President Donald Trump's stated goal to take control of the island, quote, one way or the other. AP correspondent Ed Donahue has more.
Democratic or the Democrats and the second-place finisher Nalirak, or point of orientation, are in favor of Greenland's independence from Denmark. But Democratic favors a slower pace. Sheila Geisler Christensen wants independence.
I got a vote for those who back us up in Greenland as Inuit, and we don't want to be American.
Democratic Party leader Jens Frederik Nielsen says Greenland needs to stand together in a time of great interest from outside. I'm Ed Donahue.
At Columbia University, the detention and possible deportation of alumnus and activist Mahmoud Khalil by the Trump administration has ignited demonstrations and debate. VOA's Aaron Rainin reports.
The Department of Homeland Security confirmed his arrest on Saturday, accusing Khalil of leading activities aligned with Hamas, a designated terrorist organization. The Trump administration defends the move, stating it is enforced under an executive order prohibiting anti-Semitism and is necessary to protect Jewish students and ensure campus safety. However, not all agree. Rabbi Bara Elman is a professor at Fordham University.
I think that the silencing of voices of protest of the Gaza war and of Israel's policies in the name of preserving Jewish safety is profoundly wrong.
As legal appeals continue, the outcome of this case could set a precedent for how universities and the government balance campus safety with the protection of free speech and academic freedom. Aaron Rainin, VOA News, New York City.
That wraps up this update, but the world of news never stops. For additional updates, visit our website. I'm Christina Menenti, VOA News.